welcome to Harp Column Podcast, taking you behind the stories in Harp Column from a practical harpist perspective. My name is Christina Finch, and I will be your guide to all things harp. Today's episode is brought to you by Harp Column Academy at www.harpcolumnacademy.com, featuring 5 new expert forum moderators, answering questions and creating discussions 5 days a week. Mondays are Chiali Hugo, faculty at Utah State University, talking about mindfulness. Tuesdays are Yuyi Lioi, harpist with the National Theater Orchestra in Brno, Czech Republic, answering general questions. Wednesdays bring Haley Roadside of the Annapolis Symphony Orchestra for more general questions. Thursdays feature today's guest, Angelica Hairston, teaching artist with the Urban Youth Harp Ensemble in Atlanta, making theory fun and accessible. And Fridays are Iceland Symphony Orchestra harpist Katie Buckley offering quick fixes for technical problems. Episode 21 features Atlanta harpist, teacher, and diversity advocate Angelica Hairston. If you've perused your recent copy of Harp Column, you'll know that Angelica wrote the companion article to the Summer Harp Camp Roundup that featured 8 things you can do now to get the most out of your summer program. I wanted to start today's episode by having Angelica say what role camp has played in her life.
I started going to camp in 9th grade. The first camp that I went to was far away from home for me. And so that was really the first time that I had to just be independent. I had to really grow up. In Atlanta, when I was growing up, I was a little bit of a big fish in a small pond. And so going to these camps really opened my eyes to just the level of playing of the students around me. So I think that was sort of my early high school experience. And later in high school, I was able to set with Ann Hobson Pilot at a camp, and I just had never really worked with a professional harpist who played with a major orchestra who looked like me. Working with her over the summers really opened my eyes to the possibility of career. It was never really something that I had taken super seriously until I spent time with her and was just really inspired by her teaching, and it just really took my life on a different trajectory. So camp is definitely something very near and dear and special to me.
As someone who attended music camps throughout my youth, I know firsthand the power of a summer away. If you or your child is thinking about attending a summer program but are on the fence for some reason, I urge you to take the plunge. The time, money, and effort that goes into attending pales in comparison to the experiences you will have, the connections you will make, and the growth you will experience. I had the pleasure of speaking with one of Angelica's students for a more contemporary look at the impact of summer camps. Peyton Gunner, a 9th grade student at Drew Charter School in Atlanta, has been playing the harp for 4 years, is a member of the Urban Youth Honors Harp Ensemble, and an artist with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra's Talent Development Program, which has played part in supporting the careers of minority musicians in Atlanta for over 20 years, and whose graduates include harpist Mason Morton, as well as Angelica herself. Through the assistance of the Atlanta Symphony's Talent Development Program, Peyton was able to attend Interlochen Arts Camp last summer, her first away-from-home music camp experience. I asked Angelica how she had seen her student grow after her time spent at camp.
I've known Peyton for a little bit, actually. Both of us were in a program called the Talent Development Program through the Atlanta Symphony, and it trains young African-Americans and Latino musicians in classical music. So I've been Peyton's sort of mentor through that program for a while. And this is my first year here at the Urban Youth Harp Ensemble. So my first year as her sort of teacher in a formal capacity. But I will say just seeing leadership qualities in her and just seeing responsibility has definitely been exciting to watch. Coming back from camp and seeing the level of playing that's out there definitely has been a great push for her that I've seen shine through this year. I would love for Peyton to tell you little bit about what we spoke about when I was interviewing you and what you learned when you were at Interlochen.
When I went to Interlochen, it was not my first time being far away from my family. I mean, it was quite a distance, but it wasn't like the first time I was away from my mom for more than a week. And So when I went there, the greatest thing for me was being able to solely focus on heart, solely focusing on my music and not focusing on, you know, anything else, any distractions, any friends, because I didn't have any when I went. And when people ask me my experiences, I usually tell them I didn't grow so much as a harpist, but more as a musician, in the sense that my technique did get better and the way I see music did get better, but managing myself, making sure I learn my music, having the right amount of practice time, learning my music before I go into practice and rehearsal, that was a lot of things that I don't think I could have learned in any other setting other than camp. And I lived in a cabin with like 14 other girls, which was hard.
Yeah, I went to Interlochen. I know about those cabins.
They're so gross. Hard. And they're so sandy. Yeah. Why is there so much sand? There's always sand.
There's
like,
so much sand.
Yeah.
Where does it come from?
Yeah, my cabin had a gerbil.
No.
That just came in at night.
No. Wait.
Yeah, it lives in like a little woods around it, and they come in there for warmth because it was, you know, cold at night.
No.
Yeah. Another great part of camp? Camp stories.
I'm in the dark, I'd like to read his mind.
You're listening to Harp Column Podcast, episode number 21. You can read more harp news, feature stories, and subscribe to the print magazine at www.harpcolumn.com. You may have seen Angelica's name bouncing around Facebook in Harp Column last year in association with an event titled Challenge the Stats, a project aimed to celebrate artists of color and shed light on the vast underrepresentation of minorities in the performing arts. A few interesting facts for the skeptical listener. Only 4.1% of orchestral musicians are Black or Hispanic. African Americans make up less than 4% of opera audiences. Less than 1% of compositions performed by U.S. orchestras are by composers of color. I asked Angelica to explain how this project came about.
I did my undergraduate degree in Toronto with Judy Lohman, and it was amazing and wonderful, and I learned how to just perform and play all these great pieces. But while I was in Toronto, a lot of social issues started coming to the surface in the U.S. You know, Trayvon Martin and Michael Brown and all of these just horrific things started to be filmed and put on social media, and I just was really disturbed. And being in Canada and really looking at my country from sort of the outside in, I just realized that there were a lot of issues that I really wanted to have a voice in, but I wanted to figure out how to voice my opinions as an artist. And so I really started looking at master's degrees, and I really wanted a degree that would help me understand, I guess, what I could do in the future. So I ended up going to Northeastern University, where I did what's called a music industry leadership program. It's basically a music business degree. And through that, I had the opportunity to do different projects that really related to my field of study and interest. So I studied nonprofits serving communities of color. And I was able to present a concert called Challenge the Stats while I was there in Boston. It started as a really small idea. It was just going to be a little recital with a couple of my friends who were African American musicians, and it just started to grow and grow and take on so much interest. And it was just really one of the most memorable and just, I don't know, one of the times when I could really just express my passion in so many different forms. So the concert celebrated African American musicians in classical music, dance, and film. And so we had just all of these amazing artists, and I was able to collaborate on this piece inspired by Kendrick Lamar with the spoken word artist and a dancer, and did some amazing chamber works by William Grant Still, who's a very famous African-American composer. And there was a film created about adversities in the fine arts for artists of color, and it was really amazing. And I was so thankful that I could really merge all of my interests and really make an impact and sort of show off some amazing artists who could really be role models for the next generation of artists. And so I am continuing to do some planning for this year, so definitely keep an eye out. I'll be speaking at Sphinx Conference, which is coming up in February, and they talk all about diversity in the arts and ways that artists can make an impact. So I'll be definitely meeting some brilliant people and hopefully creating some really exciting concerts in the future.
For anyone who is interested, SphinxCon is a conference that will take place between February 9th and 12th in Detroit, Michigan, and is meant to celebrate diversity in the arts. At the conference, Angelica will be speaking on a panel about music-based projects that have a lasting impact on society.
I'll be speaking about Challenge the Stats and the way that we were able to involve the National Museum of African American History and involve Sphinx Organization and involve Project STEP, which is a program that serves minorities in Boston, and just really different exciting partnerships we were able to create. So just sort of talking about that and also my impact here at the Urban Youth Harp Ensemble as well.
If you haven't heard of the Urban Youth Harp Ensemble, I highly suggest heading over to their website, www.urbanharp.org. And after you hear more about the program, you might just consider donating to this very worthy and impactful program. I asked Angelica to tell me a little more about the Urban Youth Harp Ensemble.
So we're a nonprofit here in Atlanta, and we serve about 80 students total. It's pretty amazing to be able to serve so many students from so many walks of life. It is housed at a charter school, and so we're able to have HARP basically as an elective. So the students come in groups of, see, the smallest class is 4, and the larger ones are around 13-ish. And so they just learn in group HARP lessons, and it's an amazing experience to sort of normalize the instrument for young students, and especially for the majority of the students that we serve are minority students in at-risk neighborhoods here. So it's wonderful to be able to just provide exposure in just a really normal setting.
Do the students have access to harps at the school?
They do. So the program owns about 12-ish pedal harps and then about 5 or 6 lever harps. So the students are able to practice at the school. There aren't a lot of students who have harps at home, but you know, it's really an opportunity for them to work about 2 or 3 times a week with us. So, you know, it's amazing to see their progress year to year and semester to semester, and to be able to work on, you know, pop music, and we work on lots of different things that really break the mold of, I guess, your typical harpist.
This program is unquestionably impactful and inspiring on so many levels. But to really understand what the harp has come to mean in the lives of so many of these students, there's no one better to talk to than one of the students. I asked Peyton what her favorite moment has been as a part of the Urban Youth Harp Ensemble.
So when I was about like 7th grade, maybe, I was asked to play with the high schoolers, which is really cool because they were like my role models back then. And we had a little honors harp thing we did after school. The woman over the Urban Youth Harp Ensemble, it was her birthday, and we had to play her favorite song, which is a Michael Jackson song, I'll Be There. And it was just really sweet to, like, you know, see the woman who helps me do what I do, you know, like really be touched by something that I was playing. That was a big moment for me.
What role does harp play in your life? Do you see yourself continuing on professionally?
Absolutely, absolutely. I don't really like a lot of things, and this one thing has been a major thing in my life. Like, everything I do is, oh, do I have a concert then? Or, like, you know, I have rehearsal. And it really just, my whole life is centered around it, and I love it so much.
That's it for our 21st episode. Many thanks to Angelica Hairston and Peyton Gunner for speaking with us today. If you'd like to learn more about Angelica, Challenge the Stats, or any of her other projects, please visit her website at www.angelicahairston.com. And be sure to check out harpcolumn.com for the accompanying blog for this podcast. Music for today's episode comes from the new harp CD, Harp Town, featuring harpist Aaron Hill and Mike Nolan on pedal steel guitar and drum programming, reviewed in the current Harp Column issue by Allison Young. Seriously, If you haven't checked out Harp Column Academy yet, or haven't visited in a while, I encourage you to head over to www.harpcolumnacademy.com to see all of the great new videos and resources available. Or, as Angelica puts it,
you gotta get over there. I'm telling you, it's the place to be. We watch the videos all the time. They sometimes laugh because they think some of the teachers have funny accents, but it's a great resource.
To learn more about Harp Column, please visit www.harpcolumn.com and subscribe today to gain access to current and past issues, as well as a lot of great web content. My name is Dr. Christina Finch, and we at Harp Column hope that you have a spectacular week.